morning and welcome to Sundays with the Bayonne Bishop. I'm Bishop Jan Biederstad of the Worldwide Anglican Church. And I'm going to bring you stories from the mission field where I've been a missionary over in Africa and Asia for 22 years, along with some Christian news and the feature, Ask the Bishop. Any questions you got about theology, send them in to WKJC at WKJC.com. And now let's get into today's program.
And by Living Waters Apostolic Ministries, with worship services at 11 a.m. on Sundays at 725 Newman Street in East Tawas, where the inerrant Word of God is taught to one and all. The one God, the one Father, one faith, and one baptism is open to all. And now, here's This Sunday Morning with Bishop Biederstad.
Well, good morning and welcome to Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. This is Bishop Jan Biederstad of the Worldwide Anglican Church.
This is Paula Kelsey.
And Marvin Lee.
I bring you greetings. I'm coming to you from beautiful Kathmandu, Nepal. And of course, my other two are coming to you from the snowy studios there at WKJC and WIOS AM and FM in Tawas City, Michigan. Well, Paula, you've got a hymn for us this morning. You want to share on this second Sunday of Lent, being Sunday the 5th of March.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was all now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears
Well, we've talked about Amazing Grace before, and you remember anything special about that and why it touches your heart so much, Paula?
Because as a young girl, I thought a lot about slaves and slavery, and the man that wrote this hymn later became a monk and cleaned floors in a church, but he had been had a ship, and he ran slaves that were being traded, and God convicted his heart over it, and he wrote the song Amazing Grace.
Amen.
Well, as I said, I'm over here in Nepal, and I just got home from Bhaktapur. There's, in the Kathmandu Valley, which is a valley that's bigger than all of Singapore, the country of Subchog, but the country of Singapore, there are three major cities. The largest is Kathmandu, the capital, and across the Bagmati River is Lalitpur, which in old days was called Patan, and it has its own royal palace. There is a UNESCO World Heritage Site there, as well as in Kathmandu. There are several of those. And then several miles away is the ancient city of Bhaktapur. And it, too, was once its own kingdom up until the unification of Nepal by King Prithvi Narayan Shah back about 1769. I haven't really gone there much, but I have in the last week made two trips over there. And I went over to see another pastor, meet their family. And coming back, we had a typical traffic jam, which on the main road, even though the road is about six lanes wide, which in these countries, six lanes wide means 10 lanes, because they literally believe in the concept, if you don't like the way I drive, stay off the sidewalk. They do drive on the sidewalk. They drive in the middle. They drive anywhere they can. I would not even consider driving in this area because I've been coming for 15 years and I still cannot figure out the rules of engagement. But I happened to look at the bus we were preparing to pass, and it let out a big old cloud of black smoke. I mean, it was just the soot coming out of the exhaust pipe. And it's so typical of what I see in these developing countries. And it got me thinking, because I had a lot of time to think on the trip, because it took over an hour, thanks to all the traffic jams, to go probably 14 miles. I got thinking about, here it is, the United States and Western Europe is funding the Green New Deal. China has got 1,118 coal-fired power plants. And ever since President Xi decided to vow they would not build any more new ones, according to Bloomberg back in September of 2022, they have built and opened another 14 of these coal-powered, which are anything but Green New Deal power plants, and there is still another 27 more being constructed. And China has four times the number of coal-fired plants that India has. And that made me really think about these countries. When I travel, I see the trucks blowing black smoke. I see all the black smoke coming out of the chimneys. It looks like back in the United States, back maybe in the 1950s. And yet, we're expected to pay for the world. And that really bothers me, because these countries, I mean, China is considered a developing nation. I'm sorry, it's developed. So in India, I consider being, yeah, it's developing, but it's not what it was back 60 years ago. You've got major centers like Mumbai, formerly known as Bombay. You've got Chennai, used to be called Madras. You've got Kolkata, which was called Calcutta. Yeah, they've been changing all the names. You got all these major places that are lots and lots of wealthy people. And you see beautiful mansions, beautiful homes. Yeah, they're the slums. That's true. There are the poor. But these countries are growing exponentially. And when I look at here in Kathmandu, when I came 15 years ago, I could see the mountains. In fact, the hills, which I would call mountains, they rise about 5,000 to 6,000 feet above the Kathmandu Valley. And they're all green. Here they call them hills, because if it doesn't have snow, it's only a hill, not a mountain. But then north of there is the snow-capped Himalayas. Back when I first was here, I had an apartment, and I could look out the window where my desk was beautiful. There was a neighbor who had a wonderful bougainvillea tree. And a bougainvillea tree is always producing beautiful flowers, red flowers, 12 months a year. And beyond that was the wonderful green hills. And now, thanks to India, I can't see them. Why? Well, we are directly east of New Delhi, one of the most polluted cities in the world. And even though we are separated by several hundred miles, that pollution blows all the way across and settles in the Kathmandu Valley, creating some very bad atmosphere, very hazardous, all from India. And yet India is allowed to get away with this, and so is China. But the United States are screaming at us about having all this so-called pollution. Well, these are developing countries. They need to develop more electricity. Wouldn't this be the perfect place to experiment and put in all sorts of solar and wind power? I haven't seen a single wind-powered generator over here, not like we're seeing in Europe and U.S., certainly not like down in the thumb of Michigan where they have wind-generating farms. Why not here? Why not take the money we're giving these countries and say, all right, no, we're not going to just give it to you. You got to do something in it developing for the climate change. Because all these countries got their hand out. They're all demanding, we give us money. Whoa, we're suffering. And the money goes in the pockets of the politicians. Every one of these countries. The exception of a place like Israel that does make good use of what we give them. The rest of them, the politicians are all putting in their pocket, and the local people don't care. Why? It's not out of their pocket. And our governments need to start waking up and saying, you need to make a change. We're not going to stand by and watch this. If this global warming is as real as the Green New Deal people claim, and all the climate change people are screaming and yelling, these are the polluters. These are the major polluters, is India, China, and the third world. That's where I'll be clamping down. Because we only make, 3% in the United States of all the pollution in the world. And these countries, I bet, I can't know the figures, but I bet they're over 60, 70%. It's coming from these countries, especially China, especially India. I have nothing against them developing. I think it's great. But I think as they develop, why don't they start implementing the green deals now rather than waiting while they're putting in coal-fired plants that are supposed to be bad for the environment? It's frustrating to watch, especially when you see the buses and trucks just blowing out the black smoke. And if you're unlucky enough to have your window down, you go by and that cloud comes out, you're covered. Well, anyways, this is the Bishop here, and I want you to stay tuned. Some very important announcements.
Did you know that the world's best coffee comes from Nepal? It is the smoothest, richest coffee grown in the Himalayas, shade-grown, rich in flavor, and extremely low in acid. Those of us with acid reflux can drink this all day, not a problem. Absolutely the most delicious coffee. It's available if you go to RenaissanceOutreachMinistries.com, but it's wonderful coffee and the best you'll ever drink. Remember, Nepal coffee is the best.
And welcome back to segment two of Sunday Mornings with the Bionic Bishop. I'm Marvin Lee, and we have Paula Kelsey to introduce today's hymn.
Good morning. I'm going to be talking today about the old rugged cross. George Bernard wrote this song, and he was converted in a Salvation Army meeting, and he and his wife became brigade leaders before leaving for the Methodist Church. He wrote the first verse in Albion, Michigan in the fall of 1912. Bernard traveled with Ed E. Miera to Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, where they held evangelists meeting from December 29, 1912 to January 12, 1913. Bernard finished the song during this time, and on the last night, him and Miera sang it in a duet. The completed version was done in June 1913, and it was sung by a five-voice choir. Most songs were written from scriptures, but this song he wrote about his adoration of Christ and how much he loved Christ for his sacrifice at Calvary. Bernard retired in Reed, Michigan, and the town maintains a museum dedicated to his life and ministry to this day. So if you're ever in Albion, Michigan, go see it.
That's neat. All right, we'll listen to the hymn, and we'll be back with part three with Brenda Smith.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish thee, O rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will claim I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever. someday for a crown.
old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown.
When we think about spices, we think about the Spice Islands of Indonesia. But do you realize that India and Bangladesh and Nepal are some of the biggest spice producers in the world? And through Renaissance Outreach Ministries, we have from Nepal, from the Himalayas, all kinds of spices, from the most potent cinnamons and nutmegs to masalas, the garlic that is beyond imagination of how aromatic and strong it is. We use just a little bit. We have it available at Renaissance Outreach Ministries. And in this area, you can also buy it at Klino's Market in East Tawas. And so check it out. You'll not find spice better anywhere else. Go to our website, www.renaissanceoutreachministries.com.
And welcome back to segment three of the Bionic Bishop on Sundays here on WKJC. And with us today is our special guest, Brenda Smith, who has been asked to share from Galatians. Yes. We're continuing our studies of Galatians. Yes. That's right.
Yes, thank you for welcoming me. I'm the president of the Glory Ministry, which is a 501c3 missions organization. And I preach the gospel mainly in Uganda right now. We've been other places, but mainly in Uganda right now, and also in Michigan. And on March 18th, we'll be having a ladies' meeting, first in a long time, I should say. It's not my first, but it's first in a long time, at Grout Township Hall from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's free. Lunch will be provided for free. Mm-hmm. And all the ladies are invited, anyone interested in coming and just fellowshipping. And we're going to have a time in the Word, a time in prayer, and worship and fellowship on that day. So anybody who's interested in that, you're welcome to come.
Now, where is this going to be?
This is in Gladwin. Sorry. Yep, okay. It's in Gladwin, Michigan at Grout Township Hall. It's on Grout Road in Gladwin. You won't miss it. It's the only town hall on Grout Road in Gladwin. So okay. If you type that into your GPS, you'll find it. So it is free. And if you could, you can call 989-424-1326 to kind of give us a heads up if you're coming so that we can provide the food for you, that we have enough food and enough space. So you're welcome to come. But today we're going to be talking about Galatians chapter 3, and the heading in my Bible says, faith brings righteousness. And Paul is speaking to the Galatians, to the church in Galatia, and the first thing he speaks to them, he calls them foolish. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, mm-hmm. Who has bewitched you? And that word bewitched has a special meaning to the Galatians. They understood exactly what Paul was speaking. The bewitched was to put an evil eye. They believed that people could put an evil eye on you. Mm-hmm. They could cast a spell on you. And Paul's asking them, who drew you away from your faith?
That's one of the reasons why he calls them foolish.
Exactly. That's why he calls them foolish, because he said in verse 1, he said, before you, Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified, even among you. So they knew the crucifixion of Jesus. They had began in faith, and somehow they had strayed off from course. And Paul is correcting them in this chapter. He's bringing some correction.
It's even more remarkable in the context of the crucifixion was a recent event.
Exactly.
Historically.
Exactly. It was very recent. So they would have had firsthand witnesses, eyewitnesses of his resurrection. So they weren't going from some fairy tale that's been passed down from generations, or what people would think was a fairy tale, but a firsthand account of the resurrection, the death, the crucifixion, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so Paul was saying, you know, you're foolish if you let go of that faith.
It makes the idea of the Galatians straying back to the old ways of worship even more remarkable when you think of it in those terms.
Yes, and my question in my heart as I began to look at these scriptures I asked the question, what makes us righteous? What is it that makes us righteous? And righteousness is really the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God without fear, shame, or guilt, as if sin never existed. And there's a place in Christ that we have that ability to come into his presence as if sin had never existed, without that fear, without that shame, without that guilt. And the Galatians had experienced that. They had experienced that kind of faith. They put their faith in Christ from the beginning. And it's our faith that makes us righteous with God. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. And we put our faith in the crucified Savior, Jesus. And it's all about him. And it's really not about us other than us to receive and just accept what he's done for us.
Right.
And so Paul goes on to say that even as Abraham, in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All it says that Abraham did was just simply believe God. And God gave him credit as being righteous just because he believed. Not anything Abraham had done. Abraham had come from... He had come from an idol-worshipping family. He was not a Jew, or he was raised in the church. He didn't have any training or instruction, but he heard God speak to him, and he spoke to him in Genesis. I'd have to go ahead of my notes to find that scripture, but he spoke to him in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, and he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And God promised him that even as the sand of the seashore and even as the stars in the sky, that he would become a great nation, and he didn't even have a child yet.
This goes back to what Christ was saying, that we need to believe as if we're little children.
Exactly.
Because children don't always act in the most behaved ways. We know that.
Right.
But we as adults who are raising these children give them tremendous credit for at least listening and trying.
Right.
And I think God treats us the same way.
Yes.
So if we come to them, come to God as a child. And
exactly. Simple faith.
Yeah, we're trying.
Simple believing.
We're listening.
Exactly.
I think that's where it comes in, and that's where you are redeemed.
Yes, you're bought back.
Yeah.
So you are bought back. There's nothing that we can do. All of us have that place in us where we recognize that we are sinners, that we have failed. Every one of us have failed in some manner, some more than others,
and
but we've all
do.
Failed. And still do.
Daily.
Well, exactly. I believe it was Paul that spoke, I die daily. And the reason he said that is because he knew that he couldn't live up to, without Christ, he couldn't live up to what God had for him.
And that's the beautiful message that Christ has for us, because we as humans don't have to be totally faultless and come to the throne unblemished, because there's no way that's going to happen.
Exactly.
But for those out there who may be wondering, well, is God ever going to accept me the way I am? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about God the Father and Jesus, his Son, is it's a resounding yes. Yes, he will when we come to him.
Even the thief on the cross was redeemed by Jesus at the time of the crucifixion.
And you would have thought, you know, we would think in our natural minds, we would think, well, I've got to do something. I have to make recompense. I have to make up for the things that I've done wrong.
Yeah.
And God is saying, no, you don't.
Pastor Bruce Shields said. He said, I initially thought I'd had to clean up my act before I was presentable to God.
Exactly.
And the truth is, there's no way you're going to be able to do that.
And that thinking really keeps people away from receiving the gift that he's given us, really, in salvation. It keeps people away from receiving from Christ and from the Father. Because they think, I've got to do something to make myself holy before I come to God. And God says, no, you just need to come by faith, believing to the cross.
Right.
And Jesus' blood makes you holy, and faith in his blood.
Right. So if there's any one lesson we could draw from Galatians, it's this one thing, is that no matter where you are in your life, if you turn to God and you cry out and you want to start following the ways of Christian living and accept Jesus as the Savior for all your sins, and you believe that you'll be redeemed come Judgment Day in front of God on that Judgment Day, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You are now part of the Christian family.
Exactly. Yes. And even in when you look in the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the church, you look in the book of Acts chapter 8, those Gentile believers in Samaria, they received through Peter and John the teaching about what they didn't even, they believed in a God that they didn't fully even understand, but they believed. And they received the Holy Spirit as a seal without even knowing the law.
Right.
Those Samaritans did not know the law, and they didn't obey the law, but they just by faith believed, and really we find ourselves, we're in that same place.
Right.
You know, the law is not meant to redeem us. It's not meant to buy us back.
Now, it does, there is one condition that comes with it, and that is we try our best to change our ways.
To live by the law.
Yes.
Yeah, to live by, and not the law so much as rules and regulations, but because of the heart change.
Yes.
Because of the heart change, you have a desire to please God.
The fruits, the fruits of the Spirit.
Exactly.
Yes.
You want to do what you can. You want to live holy. You want to live righteous because you have a desire. He changes the desire even from living unholy to having a desire to be holy and to
be like
him.
It is amazing as you get into Scripture, your entire outlook on life in general changes because you're uplifted internally.
Exactly. Yeah, I look back on my life from years ago, and it's amazing to me that where he's brought me from. I look back to how I felt that. I felt that condemnation. I felt dirty. I felt like I could never be good enough. You know, no matter what anybody said to me, I felt I could never be good enough. And Jesus has brought me to a place of faith because it's by grace. It's his grace by faith that we believe. We believe in him and we receive by faith. And Paul asked them in verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? You know, how did you receive to begin with?
So I was one that was taught that when I received Christ in my heart, that I had to change. Now I had to change myself.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I knew how to read.
Yes.
So I was a child, but I knew how to read.
Yes, and as you read more of the Word, you'll start to realize
it reveals itself.
Exactly. Yes. He will reveal himself to you and say, no, this is not about you.
Yep.
This is about you submitting to me and allowing me to make the changes in you. Because change does come.
Yes.
It
yes.
does happen when we receive Christ. Change should happen. But it comes through faith and not through working of the law.
Yes. Well, this is a lovely discussion.
It is.
But we have ran out of time for today's show.
It's okay.
But we'll pick this up again next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And that is Brenda Smith, Apostle Brenda Smith.
Yes, it is.
And Paula Kelsey. And I'm Marvin Lee. Thank you for joining us on behalf of Jan Biederstadt. And this is the Bionic Bishop. And we'll catch you again next week.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the time that we've spent together as we've learned about Christianity around the world and the mission field, some Christian news, some interesting people, as well as some stories. And don't forget, we'll be back on next week at 7:30. Tell your friends and come and join us. This is Bishop Jan Biederstadt from Turner, Michigan, wishing you a blessed week.